Save big money on your bathroom update at Menards. Transform your bathroom with a stunning new vanity from Magic Woods. With over 100 options to choose from, our vanities combine contemporary style with durable materials. Find the ideal piece to create the bathroom you've always wanted. From stylish and elegant to simple and modern, save big money on Magic Woods vanities at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all our great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards. Update your home and save big money with Mastercraft Doors at Menards. For over 50 years, Mastercraft has been making quality doors inside and out. Choose from the best in-stock selection of interior and exterior doors ready to take home today. Or design your door your way with our free designer in-store or on Menards.com. Save big on Mastercraft Doors and check out more great deals happening now at Menards. Save big money at Menards.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to part two of your favorite, I was going to say musical episode of anything ever. And then I was going to say, well, favorite medical musical. And then I did House do a musical?
Not
really.
Medical
musical tour.
The medical.
But,
oh, that was good.
Thanks.
A year after this aired, Patrick Dempsey was doing an interview and he referred to this episode as Glee MD. And then said it was a terrible idea for them to do it.
Well, he's wrong. Also, I don't think he sings at all in this episode. Yeah, so
he does not.
Anyways, this is Grey's Academy. This is the song beneath the song, mm-hmm. Wind Beneath My Wings. Song within
Did
a song.
You ever know
what is it?
That you're my
the song beneath the song.
So I was right the first time. Okay,
yep.
Part mm-hmm. two. I am Carmen. That's a Kelsey. That's a Meg. Special guest shout out. And it is a Beautiful Day to podcast. Blah, blah, blah. Kelsey, what are we doing?
We start this episode with everyone's favorite segment, Living in Shondaland.
Living in Shondaland!
Ooh, 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 ooh. That was a musical experience.
I was
going to start singing Chasing Cars, musical but I decided against it.
Oh, you should have. That would have been perfect.
I know.
So this episode has that's amazing.
Oh, miss fuck. I'm gonna edit in post. Just kidding. Okay. I'm not.
This episode has no Shondaland people in it.
I was figuring it wouldn't,
but
although,
I do have more fun facts about it that I will share in this moment.
Okay. I thought that there was going to be, there was one random like person. Or maybe it was going to be, I thought that it was going to be maybe someone who's just a back person, like nurse walking through the hallway, and it wasn't, but it's fine.
Okay. So I'm going to, this episode, they released a soundtrack for like all the covers that they did. It was called Grey's Anatomy, the music event. It debuted at number 24 on the Billboard Top 200.
Wow.
And reached number 2 on the US soundtracks chart and was number 5 on the independent album chart. The story specifically did go Billboard Top 100, got to number 69, nice, and Canadian Hot 100 at 72.
So, wow.
Just wanted to
That's some good
throw
info.
That fun fact in there.
Wow.
Did it say who produced or mixed or mastered the album? Do you know any of that information?
It doesn't say the album, but it did somewhere else on here say who did sound mixing. Because, again, it was kind of talking. I'll have to find it. Because a vocal coach was enlisted. Music director was recruited to arrange selected songs. Arrangement took 2 months with vocals recorded over 4 days. I'm sure there's something somewhere in here about sound mixing. But, yeah, good stuff.
I am a fan. And also, in between episodes here, Meg said that there was some shout-out design stage things that she wanted to talk about. So do you want to take some time here and just kind of throw those that insight out?
Yeah. So the head of Callie's bed with her 6 different IV bags and 3 different monitors, I just think that's a really pretty...
Stuff.
it's really pretty imagery, and they light it quite beautifully, especially when we're going through the hallways and things. And it sort of serves like this permanent backdrop when Callie's in the bed, and it feels like the backdrop on a stage to me, and that she carries the musical with her whenever they wheel her into a new location. And something, though, that is funny is that all of the monitors on her have the exact same imagery and readouts on them. And I think it's just because it's the same. It's just the same prop, like, reused three times. But it's got, like, a little really bit of a stained glass vibe feel, a little bit of, like, a church window feel to me. Mm-hmm, and I really like it.
Yeah, I like the way they light behind her in when she's, like, in just the recovery, in the ICU room. Mm-hmm. Also, I got to say this now or I'll forget it. Sarah Ramirez was the person who pitched that they needed to do songs that had been in previous episodes, because the show had already come to be known for the choice of their music and like how they used music to score certain moments and how those songs were like very impactful and like really resonated with the fans. So that was their suggestion, and that obviously like went with that.
So they were like, we need to consider the song beneath the
song.
Someone should write that song.
All right, let's talk about this song, because I don't find it necessary. I don't mind the flashback scene. It's like a weird choice, but I don't mind it. It's like them in the car pre-accident, but it's clearly another hallucination situation, because it's like they're driving in the sky. And Callie is the one that throws the phone instead of Arizona. And then when she turns to grab it, she like has this premonition and she's like, you're going to propose to me, and then hit a car. And Arizona is like, then buckle your seatbelt. and then Callie's like, I think I want to say yes, 'cause I think we're in love. Like, I think this is love and I think we should get married. And then she starts singing this song, which this song on its own, sunshine. It's very catchy. I'm very medium on this song. I don't hate it. I don't love it. Like as a song outside of this episode, in this moment, I don't need it.
It's the boner song.
It's got the worst blocking, the most nonsensical blocking of the whole episode.
This song is the metaphorical equivalent of the end of Grease, where they fly into the air.
You know, that's not terribly wrong.
Yeah.
It's the only time we see Eli, only time we see Henry. Weird moment with Lexi and Mark, because
thank you.
I don't really know, like, why, I don't know. Meredith, she's like singing to Derek. I don't think that Ellen Pompeo wanted to sing in this episode, and I think they were like, well, you're gonna, because you're Meredith Grey and it's Grey's Anatomy, so get over it.
Proposal from me. This is an hallucination of Callie's. This is the most like musical number, like, you know, it's staged like a dance number. We even cut to some of these really flat, wide shots of Bailey and Eli dancing. And I like to imagine that this is Callie dreaming about all of the couples that she knows. And she's like, listen, this is a world where happily ever afters are real and everyone gets one.
Not against that take. Does she know about Eli and Bailey? That would be my first question.
Do you know what? She subconsciously heard people talking about them.
And then my secondary thing is, I go back and forth on implications and inferences, because I'm like, sometimes if that's what you want the audience to think, you need to make a point of it. Not like telling them to think it, but at least like circling back and being like, yes, that is what was happening. You were right. Like a couple episodes ago when we were talking about, oh, well, maybe Stark wanted to call Child Protective Services because like he had some traumatic event. And I'm like, maybe, but like, tell me that, because I'm not going to assume that.
Yeah, if we're not allowed to actually get some clarity on that, we're just going to think he's a dick.
Like sometimes I'm like, I don't think you need to hold the audience's hand and like walk them to every single point you're trying to make. But like sometimes at least kind of, you know, like writing and storyboarding, and everything, there's just like ways to circle back and be like, this is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Just feel like that's not a bad take. That easily could. And they also could have easily like made that clear that that's what was happening.
Yeah, because it doesn't feel real, and I agree with you that it doesn't fit in. This isn't like everybody's gone home from the hospital to have sex overnight before they come back and are serious again.
Just Christina and Owen went home to have sex. No one else. Everyone else is hospital sexing.
We do have this like warm sunshine light, this like warm orange light through all of these scenes, which like connects them together. But I agree that this song and this scene doesn't fit in this moment. And it really just feels like they're like, oh, this episode's too serious. We got a helicopter. Oh my gosh, that's so close. we've got to lift the moment. We're at the halfway point. And I think this goes back to the songs that are effective in a musical is like, when you hit an emotional point in the story where like the characters are going on their journey and like the characters are feeling their emotion, that's where it fits. And instead this feels like a moment that the writer shoehorned in because they're like, something happy needs to go here.
Yeah. Also like every song has been a little more on like the subdued side, which makes sense for what's happening. So it's almost like they were like, well, we got to put a bop in. Let's throw in this bop. This is a boop, boop, be-doop, boop, bop.
My only beef with that is, yes, it's a bop, and I actually do like the song, and I'm very curious to hear where it was played before. But, like, then they cut to poor dead Callie on the hood of a car at the end of the scene. Like, she's just not living her best life. And she was loving Arizona. They were singing to each other, and they cut to her just mutilated on the freaking hood of this car. Yeah. Like, Derek, can you stop killing Callie, please?
So this song was originally in the episode I Am a Tree, which is season 3, episode 2. So post Denny, Burke still out of commission. I think this is like when the kid comes in and he has like impaled himself on a tree. And that's why that's the name of the episode.
I don't think I remember that kid.
And I remember it because Alex gets mad at the dad and Bailey says he's allowed to be mad. His child is a tree. Okay. So this song is like at the near the end of the episode. Finn comes into the bar, follows by Derek. Meredith says, I'm going to date both of you and you both have to woo me. And they're like, are you going to bow out? And they're like, nope. And that's it.
I do remember that scene.
Yeah.
I do. Also, Running on Sunshine is a song that was released by, I almost said Jesus, Jesus Jackson, August 2nd, 2006. I don't have much information from that, but it is interesting because they have the two releases of this. It includes the August 2nd, 2006 first release, and then it includes the Grey's Anatomy cast on March 31st, 2011. So, shout out.
I also have to say that the end of that episode, I Am a Tree, is when Derek goes to Addison and is like, our marriage is over. That's so sad. And then Mark comes out of the shower in the hotel room and is like, look how hot I am.
They don't make towels big enough in this hotel to fit around my giant.
They don't make enough steam for how steamy I am. So, anyways, that's the original use of this song in this series. Again, a weird choice. I'm sure there were other like bops they could have thrown in there. This is a catchy song. I find myself singing it. The moment they reintroduce Lucy, I sing this song. Because I'm like, surely they only picked this song because her name was Lucy, or they only named her Lucy because they knew they wanted to use this song. I don't know which is true, but it has to be one or the other.
It's all connected.
Alex has a very, to me, when he is singing, I'm like, this would do well on Broadway. Like his voice type, where it's like the more like gravelly, like, ooh, I'm like performing for you. That I don't know how to describe
Justin
it other
Chambers
than I'm like
hitting some notes in this sequence.
Yeah, I'm like, get on Broadway, bro.
Is that a secret way of saying that he actually does Broadway now?
No, but he should.
Oh.
I want him to, but he has like 7 kids. Broadway, he's very busy.
Seven kids.
It might just be
I didn't
five,
realize
but it's
that
a lot.
Him and Lucy had so many kids together.
So many.
I Lucy like the line.
Diamonds.
I like that scene where I like that they brought Henry in. Didn't like that. I'm still kind of mad at Eli though. But I like that they brought in what's his name, Henry, But the line where he's like, yeah, I got a rocket
in my front left pocket.
And then he humps
and
her.
It's a, yeah, yeah. She leans over and he like sticks his wiener
the
up there.
The blocking
like,
is so bizarre. It's unnecessary.
Yeah.
She like, they have her bend over so that he can stare at her ass.
Mm-hmm. She like picks up the pillow and tosses it and then bends over to pick it up. And it feels like the start to.
Yeah.
A porn.
Yeah.
It's really weird. Like, and the blocking to, again, it's like it could have worked if they had just tweaked a few things. But this one for me does not work. This one and How We Operate are the two that work the least, in my opinion.
I didn't hate the way that this worked, but I see where you're coming from for sure. I don't like the Lexi and Mark sequence mm-hmm. and how it plays out, because she's like rubbing up on his head and his arms and his body. And I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. I get it. Look at you two. Right. But she is with Jackson, and we get a reaffirmation of that towards the end of the episode. So that was weird. I like that they were back in the Airstream for Alex and Lucy. That was cute.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, that scene where Derek is in the middle of it, and he's like, all right, analytics, or the paralytics are off. They're off. We're waking everything up.
Yeah.
So I'd like to suggest again, I think this is Callie's full dream sequence, because she starts seeing Derek in the clouds when she's first waking yeah. up, and then the clouds are fading away around him. So I think that's why everyone's so out of character through this sequence.
That works better for me. If they could have just like shot them, like not in the hospital, like mm-hmm. in some other way, like even like have them be dancing in the sky. I don't know.
Yeah. Or like have those dancing around
the car
like
crash.
The windows and
I
shot.
Don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are ways. Cause like, I agree, like with Derek, he's standing in the clouds and coming in and out and like talking to her while she's still on the hood of the car. Like that mm-hmm. does track of like her not being in the current reality all the way. I just feel like the rest of it isn't connected enough for me to be like, yeah. this is still in your mind. Even just have like the outside Callie, like in those other scenes. But also that's weird, because mm-hmm. then it's like, are you watching them bone? I don't know. Like, I don't really have a solve.
That's my truth.
so yeah, then Derek and Meredith ask her to like move her arms, move her fingers, move her hands a little bit. She obviously is unresponsive. Like she wakes up. She sees them, but she's not moving anything. So they're like unsure of the level of brain damage, essentially. So they go to tell Mark in Arizona that it's too soon to tell. And that is when they're like, so she didn't respond. And he's like, it's just too soon to tell. And they like keep pushing because they're doctors, so they know. And he's like, okay, fine. She might not wake up. What a time. Like, I don't know what else to say. Like, it might be the actual worst possibility. But we don't know yet. It's too soon to tell. And then it cuts to Christina pitching her idea to Teddy and Owen. She's very excited. She's like adamant that this is the solve. Teddy is like, no, this is a bad idea. And then Christina turns to Owen and Teddy's like, oh, don't go to your husband. And she's like, I'm going to the person in charge of this case. And Owen also sides with Teddy. And Christina's super mad and leaves. I will say, I think the trajectory that Owen takes on this particular storyline is very good. Like, I think in this moment, he should side with Teddy because she is like the head of cardio. But later on, when her plan isn't working, I think it makes sense that he does pivot and say, like, let's try this other thing.
Yeah, I actually think this is a bad episode for Teddy.
Yeah, I don't super love the way this goes with Teddy.
Yeah, they did not paint her in a very good light.
Especially at the end, where she's like, I can't teach you anymore. I can't teach you anymore. You never listen. And I'm like, bro, that was one time. And it feels
also like
she was lashing out because of how embarrassed she felt in the OR for her plan
because,
not
like,
working.
Christina is mad, but she accepts that they're not going to do her plan. She, like, Owen is the one later on that brings it up and is like, we have to try something else because this isn't working.
That's Owen makes Teddy a worse person, and I would
so
love
true.
Teddy
Owen
so
makes
much
most
more
people
if they
a worse
would...
person.
Oh, yeah. I got annoyed by the Teddy look making eyes at the back of Owen's head in the OR. I was like, stop that.
Well, it lines up with one of the lines in the song. It's like, we were friends, or like, I thought we were friends, mm-hmm. or something like, it's like a, sad moment. And it's like, okay, calm down, Teddy. You're still friends. Like, whatever.
Teddy, you're married. Owen's married. Chill.
Everybody's married.
Everybody's married.
Okay, so Arizona is talking to Callie in the room, and she's like, Mark said this, and like, he's right. Legally, I have no bearing. I feel like this baby's mom. I feel like I'm your wife, but like, I am technically nothing. And so please live, because like, I need you to live. Like, this can't be how it ends. And then outside, Callie and Arizona start singing The Universe and You, which is originally from Deterioration of a Fight and Flight Response. And it is the opening song for the episode. And it, Derek ignores Addison's attempts to talk to him. Derek sits down with Richard and they bitch about their bullshit. Richard tells Derek he wishes he could drink some bourbon, and Bailey goes to visit Burke. Cause this is again in the hospital. This is post Burke's. Well, this is before they have to take him back in for surgery, but he has already been shot. So
I do remember that scene where he said he wishes he could have a drink.
Yeah.
The Universe and You, having a hard time finding a lot of information about this, but it's by KT Tunstall. Mm-hmm. And this was released.
Famous for that. What's that song? That's not even close to it.
Hold on, I'm going to look this up.
Gonna bug
KT
me.
Tunstall? I'm gonna look it up. Hold on. I'm pulling it up.
The face is at the top of the world.
Oh my gosh, you aren't going to believe this.
Feel like
a
beautiful girl. Beautiful girl.
We're going to get all three of my cats on the video for this episode. Look at this. This is Taco. He's 9 years old and he's absolutely huge.
That is a large ass cat.
He's done. Bye, buddy.
Bye.
There you go. We did it. 3 for 3.
Suddenly I see. That's who Katie Tunstall is.
Suddenly I see. Why the hell you mean so much? Yeah.
The opening of Devil Wears Prada.
I wouldn't have
one of my
there.
Favorite movies.
So that particular song, Universe and You, couldn't find a lot on that, but I'll tell you, Eye to the Telescope is a song that included Suddenly I See and Universe and You, and that was released on December 13th, 2004, re-released January 10th, 2005, and it was nominated for the 2005 Mercury Music Prize in the UK. Also, it reached the album as high as number 33 on the U.S. Billboard Top 200, number 2 in Scotland, number 3 in New Zealand, and number 4 in Ireland, 7 in France. So that's what I got for this one.
Wow.
Perfect. So, yeah. Another choice where I'm like, I don't remember this song much from the original episode, but I do like this cover that they sing. So it's Callie in Arizona.
Calzona.
Mm-hmm. Addison.
I could go for a calzona right now.
Jesus. And then Callie, outside Callie, touches Coma Callie, and Coma Callie moves a finger. That's like really all that happens during that. And then Addison tells Mark that he needs to go make peace with Arizona because, like, you know,
it's bad times
in the kingdom. What?
Pause. When, Arizona's like, I feel like our baby's mom. And then mm-hmm. she said, can you just live? Can you just live for me? Mm-hmm. That was the second time in this episode that someone was cutting onions next to me. Just wanted to point that out. Yes.
That's fair.
Mm-hmm.
And then Callie starts to crash and they're like, we got to go back to the OR. Like, it's bad news bears. Outside Callie starts singing Grace.
One of the issues that Callie has is abdominal compartment syndrome. And compartment syndrome is one of my favorite injuries on Grey's Anatomy because that typically means Callie goes in there with a scalpel and just slashes part of the body open.
And then all the blood pours out?
And then all the blood pours out, but they can't do that to her.
I know
but
exactly
I'm like,
what you're talking about.
Yeah. I was wondering, I'm like, is a C-section appropriate treatment for an abdominal compartment syndrome?
There are certain things. I was actually following along with this family I saw share on Instagram where the wife had placenta Procreta, which is like, oh no, because there's Placenta Creta, Placenta Accreta, and Placenta Procreta. And this was like the furthest one. So it's basically where your placenta like attaches more intensely than it's supposed to, because after you give birth, your placenta comes out. And if it doesn't, your body will just like try really hard to push it out. And if it's attached to other organs, it's bad news.
They will follow.
But like they can catch it. They like can catch it early. Yeah. But then it's like, it's hard to say, oh, we need to do a C-section because the potential for blood loss is so high. And so if you're already doing a C-section, like you're already, you know, doing a surgery. So it's like crazy. Anyways, the woman I saw on Instagram ended up being coming out. Okay. Her and the baby were both okay. So that was a good one.
So it's more like where you bleed, I will follow.
It's so true. With blood transfusion.
I feel like I learned a lot just now because this is a teaching hospital, damn it.
Yes, you're so welcome. I didn't even look that up. That was just personal knowledge that I had probably quoted incorrectly.
You're basically a doctor.
You've
watched 30% of Grey's Anatomy.
So true.
Oh, she's watched.
I've watched all of it.
You've
I've watched
100%. 30% of Grey's Anatomy. You've watched all of it.
And podcasts are really just comedic dissertations daily. Yeah. So
we don't do this daily. I would love to do this daily.
Yeah.
Okay. So yes, when they take Callie to the OR and that she's singing Grace, I think that's the shot you're talking about with the spinning where she would have been on the turntable.
She's on the turntable.
It's unclear for a little bit, like that she's sitting on the gurney, because like the shot is just of like her torso and up, and then like later on they pull out and you see that they're pushing Coma Callie and Outside Callie on the gurney to the OR.
So this song is being filmed in slow motion. You can tell because Mark runs by in slow motion after her. That means on the day, Sarah Ramirez would have had to lip sync to the song at double the speed. So when they slow it down in the edit, it will match the normal pace at which she sang the song. So sorry that's crazy. They sang the song. So not only did Sarah learn this song in its original timing, but they also had to memorize it at double the speed and perform it at double the speed in a way that still looks cool once it's played back in slow motion.
That's crazy. This song, Grace, is also from Losing My Religion, so the one where Denny dies. It is at prom. Derek and Meredith have cheating sex in the exam room. Izzy tells Alex that she's going to prom after she goes to check on Denny. They have the shot of Denny reading the newspaper and then like look up and gasp and die. And then Izzy like gets in the elevator and all excited to go see him, and the elevator doors close and we know she's too late. So that's the original moment that this song
she
played
killed in. That guy. So sad. And they such made her still be a doctor after that.
Such a bummer.
Gun to her head. They said, you will doctor more people.
They didn't put a gun to her head.
No. They put a gun to someone else's head. She was gone by that point. She didn't even know.
Remember the part where Izzy was like, hey, I killed a guy before and you still let me stay.
Richard's
like, things are different now, obviously.
We can't be murderers
HR
anymore.
Is in the room now.
Yeah, the doctors can't murder people because there will be actual murderers who come out later that we need to save some deaths for them. I love the cinematography all over this episode, for this song. I think this is the scene where they have like the slow motion, they're washing their hands in the sink, right? There's all the people's hands and they're scrubbing in. Her on the gurney as it's moving. And then she's laying on her back. And then when they pick her up and they put her on the actual table, she's back to her Coma Callie.
Yeah.
Just like
the cut.
There's so many
forth,
cool things that's happening here. And I think this is also where we get the scene where Arizona's like, we should pray. And Mark's like, I haven't stopped praying since yesterday.
I'm a better person than you. That's not what he meant, but yeah.
She's just saying, let's pray together.
Yeah.
For this one person who, like, we both, like, would be just destroyed to lose. Like, let's pray together for her. And he's like, I cannot. I am too busy being mad. Like, all right, well, that's not helpful.
And Arizona starts doing the Lord's Prayer. She starts saying, "Our Father who art in heaven," and then cut away. I'm like, oh.
Yes, the Lord.
It's one where you learn like so young, and it's like if you aren't a hyper religious person, I think most people can like pull that one out. Mm-hmm. And so I can get kind of circles back to like, you know, that very different part of like Callie being raised hyper religious and Arizona not so much. But she's mm-hmm. like, but this is how I can't honor your beliefs in these moments.
This is how we do it.
This is how we do it. So then we have they start operating on Callie. Callie's bleeding. Callie's crashing. Too many things happening. Christina is seriously like, okay, but maybe we should try my idea. And Owen's like, you're right. We should try it. So Christina's like, okay, I'm going to do it. Like, I've gotten the okay. And Teddy is like, no, I don't give you the okay. I'm like, okay, well, the person above you has. So the time has come to move on with our lives. So Richard ends up having to be the one to tell Teddy to go away and let Christina work.
And they are all just so awkwardly looking. That scene where the actual shot where it cuts to Bailey and she's like, oh, what's happening here?
Yeah.
Uncomfy.
So there's a real click problem at Seattle Grace Mercy Death. And it's very clear that, like, when you're in the in-group, you're in. And so, like, I feel like Lucy gets ostracized from the in-group pretty mm-hmm. early on because they're like, no, we need Addison. We need our core team. And it feels like Teddy kind of gets kicked out of the in-group here. Mm-hmm. They're like, no. These are time for the main characters, Teddy. Mm-hmm. And I think it hurts Teddy's feelings.
Yeah.
But then and to that
pride,
point, I would
it's
say
a little bit of both.
Yeah. The point that I would have that to counteract that is, who the hell let Hunt into the core group then?
Well, he's
well, he married Christina, so he's Christina's plus one.
That's right. Mm-hmm. The plus. He's Christina's plus one to the core click group. That's really funny. That's really funny.
So then Owen starts singing How to Save a Life. This I loved. I love the arrangement of this. I love the distribution of like different lines to different cast members. Mm-hmm. So How to Save a Life is from Superstition, which is season 2 episode 21. And in this we have, let's see, How to Save a Life. Oop.
Season 2 is just the one for good songs.
I know. Season 2 and it's really like these are our iconic moments.
We didn't talk about Kate Hevnevik for that last song, mm-hmm. Grace.
Oh, for Grace. Okay, go ahead and do that.
Yeah. Sorry. Not a lot that I was able to find on that because Grace was actually released as a single. Mm-hmm. But just a little information about her. So Kate Hevnevik has had a lot of albums. So Melanchthon is 2006. And that's her first one. And then she had one as recently as 2022 called Lightship. None of them have done wildly wildly well on the charts. But she has had a pretty long music career. And she is considered, she's from Norway. I think it was the last thing I just wanted to shout out here.
Yes. So it's pretty good. Her song was included on Grace Anatomy.
Oh, nice. You guys. You guys.
And then what else was happening for How to Save a Life? Or is that what you're talking about now?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about now. I thought, and I could be wrong, I think I have a cover of Hallelujah that she sings that I love, but I might be getting her confused with another Kate. Okay. So How to Save a Life in Superstition, Burke and George are scrubbing in to operate together. Derek and Christina are operating on Jesse, who was an OCD patient who was in a car crash and like counts everything like or says everything three times. Burke and George are scrubbing in to operate on Denny. Richard operates on Ollie, who, if you'll recall, was his sponsor. Meredith and Bailey have the patient Nikki, who's like had climbed a tree outside of her ex-boyfriend's house because she's low-key stalking him, but then it like fell out of the tree but refuses surgery because her horoscope was like, don't do that. And she's like, I won't do it until my boyfriend comes. And then she refuses surgery and then code, so they start CPR. So that is what is happening the first time they played How to Save a Life on Grey's Anatomy.
I don't remember most
Didn't
of that.
Everyone in that episode die? Didn't we lose every single patient?
So the whole point of the episode is they're like, everybody, like, if it's like, I think it's five people, they say like, oh, five people are gonna die, like that's the superstition or like what the morgue guy said or whatever. So the whole episode, Izzy is like petrified that Denny is going to be the last person that dies, like he's gonna be the fifth or the seventh or whatever the fucking number it was. And so Alex is like hyper harassing Izzy about being obsessed with Denny, obviously. And I think this might be the first one where Izzy and Denny kiss. But I'm not positive. And then, yeah, it's just, you know, good stuff up in here. You don't remember Richard's sponsor coming in and like vomiting up blood?
I don't remember that. I think
she
vaguely
did live.
I think I vaguely remember the girl who was waiting for her boyfriend.
Yeah, but vaguely. Wasn't actually her boyfriend.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Surgical fatalities occur in threes and sevens. That's the rumor. So four fatalities in the morning alone. Superstition rules the roost at Seattle Grace. Addison, gives Meredith hot chocolate. And she's like, here's some good juju.
Oh yeah. And Meredith just throws it out.
Christina is holding Burke's scrub capped hostage, and Burke is like, George, you have to get me that scrub cap or like Denny will die. And then yeah, it's just wild.
Well, the song How to Save a Life is by The Fray. Yeah, very popular. It was released in March 26th, 2006, and this is probably, I mean, I don't know a lot of the Fray songs, but I feel like this is probably one of their most well-known, if not the most well-known. It reached top 10 in the Billboard charts in Australia, Belgium, Canada, Ireland, Italy, shout out Italy, New Zealand, Norway, Portugal, Scotland, Sweden, the UK, number three on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100, and then number one in three other U.S. Billboards, adult alternative songs, contemporary, and the pop airplay streams as well. Also reached number four on the Christian songs Billboard, which I think is very funny to me.
Yeah, people really were singing that song in churches a lot.
Yeah. Full disclosure, I don't think I've ever paid attention to the actual lyrics of that song, ever.
Really?
When they say,
it's just a talk.
No, not that part. Like going into the chorus when they say, I would have stayed up with you all night if I had known how to save a life. Like,
yeah,
very like. Sad. This song is so sad.
Yes, this is a sad song.
Is this the song that's also in the rabies episode of Scrubs?
It is the rabies episode of Scrubs. Yes.
Yeah.
I believe you brought that up in the episode that this song first was, because I think we looked it up and you were like, which one came out first?
Yeah. And it was Grey's. Grey's was around before Scrubs, I think. But this barely.
I think they were around the same, but I think regardless, the episodes aired within like a month of each other, so they wouldn't have known, I don't think, either way that the other one had done it.
Yeah. That episode still is one of the best Scrubs episodes of all time. In my humble, humble opinion. But also in my humble, humble opinion, we should take a quick break for regional sponsors. So we'll be back after a quick message, and then we'll hit the home stretch of this episode.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com. This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
We're doing and great. We are back. You guys are killing it. Oh,
thank you.
Oh, ruined everything. Let's take the break again.
No. No more sponsors. All right. Keep on trucking, Kelsey.
Okay. So next we have. First of all, I got to talk still more in about scene. How to save a life.
Yeah, we're still in the scene.
Derek, Christina are both working. Meredith is singing. Most of the other people in the OR are singing. Mark sings in the gallery. It's like the very littlest amount that we get. I loved his voice. I was so sad that they did not utilize it more. Derek is able to stop the brain bleed. Arizona starts singing in the gallery. Christina keeps working. Callie's vitals go down. Outside, Callie is singing in the gallery. Addison's like, you have 1 minute to get her heart beating and I will take out this baby. They do not meet her timeline, so she takes out the baby.
And that is a tiny ass baby.
1 pound, 1 ounce.
1 ounce.
Yep. And so did this moment cut up the onions for you, Carm?
No, actually it didn't.
Really? This one when Mark and Arizona like sprint in because they're like, our baby is being born. Like, we want to be here for this. So they run in. Lucy, Alex, and Addison are all working on the baby, like at the little NICU station, trying to like get a heartbeat. And then Mark just like looks at Arizona and
That's the point.
It's just like no words. And he is just like, you have to do something. Like, please, like, this is not happening. And she just like jumps in and she's like, she just starts like, no one gives her any pushback. Like, again, technically, there's not like, oh, you're related, because at this point, by the legal standards, I mean, again, this is an extenuating circumstance. Obviously, she is something. She's not nothing. Mm-hmm. But I don't no one gives her any pushback and she's able to get the heartbeat. And when she says like, I have a heartbeat, like her voice breaks and it's very emotional. And then Richard says, mom's heart is strong, because they get Callie back as well. And it's just like a swell of positivity in this, you know, horrific days of like the worst news ever.
Yeah, I was pretty good in the entire scene up until Mark gives her the nod of like, get in there, please, for the love of God, save our baby.
Yeah.
I am confused. I need some insight. When Arizona has her hand on the glass, who touches her hand? Is that supposed to be Callie or is that Mark?
I thought it was outside Callie.
I think it's outside Callie.
I couldn't tell. That made more sense because of the distance that Mark seemed to still have to her body.
Yeah.
But that was just a bit confusing for me.
I would have to go back and look again, but I think it's outside Callie.
Okay.
Okay. So again, that's just like, whew.
Yeah.
Like, also, okay, things are okay right now.
I'm so glad that I had the captions on, because at one point, I think it's Dr. Knox, the anesthesiologist, she goes, we've already replaced her entire blood volume.
Yeah. That's
in
a
the
lot
middle
of
all of this. Yeah. That's a human's
a lot.
Worth
that's
of blood.
That's insane.
Yeah.
That's bonkers. Okay. So after this, Derek tells Arizona and Mark that they're basically at a point where like, they just have to wait to see, like, there's nothing else they can do to make her wake up. They just have to wait and see. But yes, there is still technically a possibility that she won't, but like, her brain looks good. Everything looks great, but we don't know.
Yeah.
So then he leaves. Mark tells Arizona, he's like, you're not nothing. We have a kid together. You're a mom. I'm a dad. And I'm sorry. And I think that is a very genuine, good apology. He's not beating around the bush. He's like, this is the shitty thing that I said, and it was wrong. And I am sorry that I said that to you.
And I love getting a male apology on the show.
I love it. I love the words "I'm sorry" when they come out of a male's mouth on Grey's Anatomy.
How funny.
With sincerity, not snarkiness.
Yeah, it would have been really funny if he would have said, "You're not nothing, and I want to apologize."
This is me apologizing.
I'm going to say nothing in the scene, and then I'm going to say, "This is me apologizing."
Yeah, the worst.
Goodness. That was nice. That was a nice moment. Yeah. I wish she maybe would have said, "I'm sorry" back, but she didn't.
Yeah, and that's fine. I think her, you know, saving the life of their child was a good apology.
This is me saying I'm sorry.
This is me apologizing. Okay, so then we get this scene with Meredith and Derek in the elevator. Always got to have a scene in the elevator. I think this scene is so well done. Like, Meredith feels really bad because she was jealous that Callie got pregnant without trying and she can't get pregnant. And then this terrible thing happened. And so she feels guilty. There's like guilt associated with it. In addition to, like, you know, is Callie going to be okay? Is the baby going to be okay? What about Mark in Arizona? What about us? Like, are we ever going to be parents? Like, it's just all of these emotions, like building. And I think this is just like a great supportive moment for Derek, where he just is like, hugs her. And he's like, we are going to be parents. Like, however we have to be, we will be parents.
The moment where Meredith is like, what weird thing in the universe is doing all of this? And I'm like, it's Shonda, babe. Shonda is the universe that it's doing this.
Literally.
The line of like, why is the universe so screwed up and random? I'm like, well, because that's the interesting television to watch.
It's because you're living in Shonda land.
So true.
And because we got to get a healthy amount back over the double digits and millions of viewers, because we had dipped down to single digits far too many times.
Yeah.
For the capitalist overlords at ABC.
Yep. So yeah. I thought they played the scene really well. I thought it was very genuine and believable. Every emotion she feels is like completely believable to me. Like, it makes absolute sense that she would like feel all of those things and be upset and like feel guilt and all of that stuff, and like feel like basically guilty for feeling jealous. So
yeah, the thing that's crazy, and I do want to say in this like little teeny tiny shout out here, I really appreciate all the people who have reached out to me since the last episode had come out, and all of our Patreon patrons in Discord who have, you know, said very kind messages. I know I haven't done a great job at responding, but when Meredith was in that scene of, yesterday we were at her baby shower and today she was thrown through a car windshield and could be dead. Like, it's so crazy. I got home from work late last night, and Marlo had fallen asleep in our bed watching some Vampirina with Jessica.
Classic.
So they fell asleep, and they had just texted me saying, hey, like, when you get home, Marlo's going to be in our bed. Just take her to her room. And I just sat in this chair in her room with Marlo for like just 20 minutes, just holding her asleep. And I think not only does the cinematic universe visually convey a lot of these tough points, but it's so important to remember that things that can be here one day are gone the next. And they're encapsulating so many emotions in that scene. And also, for whoever out there is a true Derek and Meredith stan, I personally am not. I know that I've said this before. I don't love their relationship. That was really great. I know that you're a big Christina and Owen fan. So
sorry, I just had to throw up on the mic.
So anyways, there's just a lot of really good emotion. And I feel like there's like 7 years of emotion culminated with like this big thing with Callie, and I don't know. It's just really well done, but that's the emotional level that it hit me at. And I was thinking about this particular episode when I had gotten home from work last night, and I was just like, I'm just going to sit here for 20 minutes, and yeah, I can go to bed, or I could take a couple extra minutes and just like lay with my daughter.
It's so interesting too, because like, if you think about it, in a way, most Grey's Anatomy episodes are tackling that, but it's from a patient standpoint, and we're not watching it from the patients and like their family's standpoint. So like, anytime a patient comes in and like goes into surgery and doesn't make it or dies from some other injury or something, like that's like, this is the reality that their loved ones are living. But we don't ever see that because that's like not the story they're telling. So this episode, like seeing it from that side of things is like a whole other ball game, because it's just like the emotions are so tied into like someone's well-being, and it's like so much of it is out of control. Like you can do everything you can do and it still can be completely out of control.
Yeah. Yep.
Wild. Anyways, okay. So moving on. Mark, oh wait, we did that. In the little Arizona is talking to Callie about the baby, be like 1 pound, 1 ounce, but she's so strong. Like she can't open her eyes, but I know she's looking for you. Like I know, like she wants to see you. Like she wants her mom. It's oof. Outside, Callie starts singing the story. This song is so good. This cover is so good. Sarah Ramirez goes so fucking hard. And I'm like, I scream this at me every single morning when I wake up. Like, this is incredible. Like, absolutely incredible. Again, this was like in a special episode of Grey's with like hosted by Jeffrey Dean Morgan. So like not really like an episode where I can break down what was happening for you. So Carmen, if you want to go ahead and just talk about this song specifically by Brandi Carlile.
Yeah. So this is by Brandi Carlile, but it was written by Phil Hanseroth, and it was from the album self-titled The Story, released in 2007. The chart performance on this one, she had gotten, this had gotten as high as number 75 on the Billboard Hot 100 and number 35 on the pop, adult pop songs, US. It did reach top 100 in Australia, Austria, Norway, Portugal, and Switzerland. But that's what I got for this one. This version of the song, I don't think I've listened to the original personally. Mm-hmm. What I envision my truth is like, this is the song that Shonda saw and was like, we're going to work backwards from this point. Like this is the point that it's like that scene in who's the writer of Twilight?
Stephanie Meyer.
I think I remember reading an article or hearing an interview where she was like, I had the scene where they're on a picnic or something.
In the meadow. Okay.
In the meadow.
You've activated my trap card. Bam.
Yes.
So Stephanie Meyer had a dream about the meadow scene, about this vampire boy talking to a girl and how much they loved each other, but he wanted to kill her. And that was what was keeping them apart. And she engineered the book from there.
That's how I envision this worked, is this was the scene that Shonda saw and she reverse engineered the entire episode to this. That's like, I don't know why I keep coming back to that.
When you have a performer like Sarah Ramirez, you have got to give them a powerhouse moment. And that is this. Like, yes, every other moment that they perform in this episode is also good, but the song is solely them singing. You get those belt moments, you get that high, high emotion. And the fact that it is like culminating to her singing to her baby, like, and they align it perfectly with like the lyrics that she sings to the baby. And then her like grabbing Coma Callie and basically like making her wake up. I'm like, this is so well done. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like the part of this episode's at work so well. That's like why this episode frustrates me so much, is I'm like, because you bookend it with these incredible moments and then there's like some really good moments in the middle. And then also like, what the fuck are we doing? Like, it's just too many things all at once. But like this moment specifically is like 1,000 out of 10.
Two things. One, did you guys see that this week Netflix announced an animated adaptation of the Edward Cullen point of view book for Twilight?
No.
Oh no.
They are going to make Midnight Sun an animated show. So
are they gonna let you draw
it? Keep an eye out for that. Do you know what? Remains to be seen. But also, I went to a friend's wedding 2 years ago, and this song, the story was their first dance.
So
and afterwards I went up to them. So shout out to my friends Jenny and Ted. I'm like, I didn't know you guys liked Grey's Anatomy. And they're like, Grey's Anatomy? I'm like, yeah, this is like the pinnacle of the Grey's Anatomy musical episode. And they're like, oh no. Actually, no, this is on you. A playlist for a Transformers fan fiction that we both love. And I'm like, do you know what?
Incredible.
Love wins.
So cool. I wish they would have said, no, Brandy's my sister. And then it's like Brandy in the back.
She's right behind me, isn't she?
Yeah. Just drinking straight from a bottle of Brandy. That's my truth.
This song was covered by Sarah Ramirez here, obviously, but also Leanne Rimes and Dolly Parton.
Wow.
My Gwen.
So, fun fact about me. I, for most of my life, knew zero country other than Leanne Rimes and Faith Hill. That was it. Because my dad listened to those two growing up. And I remember I was like very close to meeting Leanne Rimes one time, and then I didn't. And that's all I have to say about this. But you will hear me very frequently. Was Faith Hill or Leanne Rimes did This Kiss?
Faith Hill.
Leanne Rimes had a lot of other songs. But yeah. Anyways, fun fact there. The last Onion time was when she physically is like slamming the gate of the bed.
Yes! Oh, yeah. It's so good!
And it's so real. Like, it doesn't feel forced. It feels like they were just singing, and they were like, this is what I have to do with my feelings.
Yeah.
So good.
One thing about the filming of this song is, you know, there's a lot of action in the camera. It's swinging around them a lot, and cutting quite often to different takes. So this means that Sarah Ramirez nailed takes with this much energy at least 4 or 5 different times to get the number of angles that's
impressive,
like, that they got on filming. Yeah.
Just like beyond words.
Yeah.
And like indescribable and talent.
I'm sure that we know all of the songs were pre-recorded, but I just know day of filming that Sarah brought their A game and were like singing live.
I was thinking that as well. I was like, I know that, you know, the songs are like done is separately, but like, there's no way they weren't just like on set, just like bringing everyone to tears with this performance, like not holding back. And like, which means also that in the recording, like they were also matching that level. So it's just like giving 100% like 72 times. Like, it's incredible.
Yeah.
I also, go ahead, Meg. I'll go after.
Oh, one of the things that is pretty difficult about shooting a musical movie is the, you know, do we pre-record, do we sing live? Because you have a much better control over the sound if you pre-record. However, that's made months before you get on the set. And if you want to make different acting choices, you are like kind of tied down to the choices you made in the recording studio. I am, however, a big fan of pre-recorded musicals. I'm not so much a fan of live vocals on movie musicals.
If you're going to do a live vocal, it needs to be a pro shot. I don't need this Les Mis shit.
Or this cat's shit.
Why? Nobody needs that. That's why people are eating cats.
Because of, never mind. I'm not going to go down that road.
Taylor Swift, the childless cat lady, as seen in Cats.
Yeah.
Good times.
Oh, goodness. So, as someone who's like obviously very big into music, when I look at episodes like this, I also try to look at like the way that the singer's mouth shape, like, and intensity matches what it would look like for their singing. I say very confidently that I don't think there was a single scene that Sarah Ramirez's voice and like, I think that she truly was sitting there on scene, singing everything like very clearly. There were a lot of times where Owen was like, the way that he was mouthing the words, like physically the coming out tone didn't match his mouth shape. And I was annoyed by that a couple of times. Again, like, I don't want to harp on him. I think he did okay. I don't think that he was as strong of a singer compared to like Sarah, Lexi's character, and just overall, I think it kind of felt a bit jarring, but Sarah Ramirez's character or portrayal of Callie in all of this really did. I think that she brought it every single second of every single shot that whole time. Very impressive. Kudos.
Okay. So just a few more things before we get into the rest of it. So during this, Lexi's asking Jackson if he's going home, and he's like, I can't wait around for a girl who's in love with another guy. And she's like, let's go home together. So that's resolved. Teddy tells Christina she can't teach her anymore because she won't learn and she won't listen. Find somebody else to teach you. Walk away. Unclear what the fuck happened there.
What?
Outside Callie wakes up, coma Callie. Outside Callie disappears. Arizona sees that Callie's awake. Callie says yes. And Arizona says what? And she says, yes, I'll marry you. And the episode ends. So we have a billion Patreon questions.
Yay!
So
before we get into the questions, I need you guys to know that there was truly a scene where I stood up and I said, they're going to fucking kill Arizona. When she wakes up, she finally wakes up and Arizona's head is down. I had this moment where I'm like, what if it's like that girl who was in that car crash and like her internal body was like, no one thought, because she was so fine, everyone was like, oh, we're not even going to do all the tests. And I was like, what if they miss something on the scan? What if she hemorrhages out? Like, what if she's dead? And Callie wakes up now to her head down, dead, deceased. So I truly had this moment of panic where I'm standing up and I'm watching this and I'm like, this is Shonda. Shonda has absolutely ruined my psychological safety.
This is how they do it.
Seriously.
This is how they kill her.
So that was the point that I wanted to make sure that you guys were like, what, Shonda, what have you done to me? So, all right, let's get into these questions. Let's do this.
Okay. First question, top three best singers, top three worst singers. Go.
Top three, I think is easy. Callie, Lexi. And then I think I want to say Bailey. But for the short time that we got Mark, I agree. I think he did very well.
Mm-hmm.
I did not think Owen, I don't know if it was the way they mixed Meredith, but she sounded very soft and like not that great. But no one else stood out as bad. I think April only gets like one line and
she's
mostly
Arizona, just like harmonizing with people, I think.
Yeah, and then Arizona only gets kind of a couple of lines in that boner song. So I would say Owen, Meredith, and then maybe, like, in no particular order, either Arizona or April.
Which song / performance was your favorite?
The last one was, I think, the best performance. Mm-hmm. But the cinematography around where Callie's on top of herself on the gurney.
Yeah, Grace.
Yeah. That one, truly, like, the slow-mo of it, the scenes where it's, like, truly, like, I felt the scene where they're scrubbing and there's water pouring down and they're it's, like, they're doing ballet with their hands. Like, it was very much an emotional story within the emotional story that was taking place there. So I think those two were my favorite songs and performances that they had done. Although the How to Save a Life piece was also really, really great because like everyone was involved. It was like a very ensemble,
ensemble.
What's
just ensemble?
Okay. Ensemble. That's a bunch of people going in a scene together.
I was going to combine ensemble and anthematic and say ensemblematic. That's not a word.
Unproblematic.
Yeah. So.
Do you remember any of the songs originally? Like in their original episodes?
No.
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 Not even Chasing Cars.
No. And here's what's so interesting about this. I am very much like there are songs that I associate with people and moments in my life. I can go back to a lot of songs in Scrubs. I don't know if it's because I'm so hyper focused on the notes of what's happening here, but I really am having a hard time as a TV show as a whole connecting music to moments in Grey's, let alone full storylines that I'm remembering.
I think they do music so well that it heightens the emotion. Normally the only times we've really mentioned music is when it's been like it hasn't worked, when it's been like a distraction. We'll be like, why is this the music choice? But so many of their choices to score the show are so perfect that it really is just like swelling with the emotion. So it's not a distraction, which is what good scoring is.
Yeah. Like, I think about that scene very recently where Teddy and Meredith had to go in and do the aortic, the ischemic, the bowel
just
ischemia.
In their going out clothes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry, the aortic clothes. Dissection. Yeah. And like the music around that, it wasn't like a real, like it wasn't a vocal song. It was like a very like kind of intense, like driving, but anyways, so that was one that has stuck with me. Also, I see that Kelsey has I think a little baby issue, but it's okay. We're back.
Just a toddler screaming down the stairs.
No, it's okay. We're all good. So yeah, what's the next question?
Whose side were you on, Mark or Arizona? I would like to preface this by saying it's fine if you're on no one's side because both of them kind of sucked. But I think maybe she's saying like in the like save Callie versus save the baby debate. But that's a hard question.
If that's the case, I think I should preface with no one's really going to be able to answer that question unless they're in it. But I think I feel, as a parent, more comfortable to say save Jessica. But if it was between saving Jessica and Marlo, I would start to really have a hard time. Between an unborn baby and my wife, in this case, an unborn baby and best friend / Arizona's partner, Callie is the priority, not the baby. I would be really hard pressed to be able to, because at that point, if it's between, like, again, Jessica and Marlo, I have no idea how I would even live without one of them.
Yeah.
But living without Callie is scarier than living without the baby. Because
they don't know the baby yet in this setting. Yeah.
So that's my take on that. But, like, the words, I'm on no one's side. They were both mean, but its emotions were high. So, you know.
Yeah, it feels
not that
like
it's justified, but it's
said...
explainable.
Yeah, it feels like they both said the cruelest thing they could possibly imagine, even if it's not how they were sincerely feeling. They were both trying to hurt each other in that scene.
They knew what
they
were doing,
for
sure.
Yeah.
This is, what do you think of the poorly edited face on Callie's stand-in that Callie sings to? I did not notice this. So
I
cannot
do not
say
think it's
when
poorly
this...
edited. There's a moment where she's bending down and touching her own face. Sorry, I know these questions are for Carmen, but I have opinions. You can definitely see the compositing and like how the shadow is fake because it's like the wrong like level of darkness, the wrong opacity for like other shadows in the scene. But I think they do a pretty good job in the moments where it's split between outside Callie and unconscious Callie.
Yeah, and full disclosure, this is one of less than 5 total episodes that exist in Grey's to this point that I've watched multiple times. I actually had to rewatch this on my lunch break today because I didn't want to miss anything.
Yeah.
And there's a couple of things that I added in my notes after the fact that I did miss. So, I didn't notice that, though. So I guess it didn't distract me.
If you could change the songs that were used, what song would you remove or add?
I think it would have been really cool to do, I don't think I would have changed removing them because again, I didn't think of any of these like the specific moments, but I think it would have been cool to add in Help, which I think is the title of the pilot.
Hard Day's Night.
Yeah. Hard Day's Night. I think that would have maybe been, I don't know how they would have done it, but like that's one of those songs where it wasn't a part of the moments, but it was a part of the lore. Hard Day's Night, thank you. Not Help, different Beatles movie and album. I don't think there's anything off the top of my head. The one that fit the least is the Calm Down one. That one just sucked, but I don't think it was a song
down.
Selection point. I think it was the just I
delivery.
Think the delivery. Yeah.
Yeah, Meg, do you have an answer for that?
I like the idea of swapping out Running on Sunshine with Hard Day's Night, of showing everybody after we've just had this exhausting day of trying to save Callie's life, of like everybody like finding solace in each other.
Yeah.
Because when I get home to you, I find that things that you do will make me feel all right.
I feel that they could have done Where Does the Good Go somewhere, because that's another iconic Grey song. And also I love it. And I don't know how they would have arranged it though, because just like it is a little bit of a different vibe. And then, you know, yeah, there are some songs that haven't been in the episodes, but the titles of the episodes. And I'm like, those are super iconic. They could have done that. But I feel like if they had done that, they would have had to only do that and not do the ones that they had used in. Like, it's just a different choice.
Yeah. Yeah. So I have no problem with the choices that they took. And I think, I mean, they made the best, because even that song, they have really, it's like 30 total seconds of that actual song.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then, what do you think of the boning song? It's so weird to have a bang montage while Callie's life is in danger. Magic think, all got visuals, but Callie's is more like page me if she codes.
I feel like if I'm ever in a coma, I want there to be a bang montage happening. But that's actual banging. If I'm dying, I want everyone who's ever listened to this podcast or met me to just go and do whatever kind of consensual sexual acts bring you joy.
It's what he would have wanted.
It's what I would have wanted. It's what it's not so what true. I would have wanted. It's what I want currently. Even if you're listening, go have sex to this podcast now. Okay. Find another
and
Grace
and eat some pie, because Carmen loves pie.
This is how we do it.
This is how we do it.
Is this better or worse than other musical episodes that you have seen?
Ooh,
it's hard because most of the other ones are comedies, and like dramas just so have different. A harder time accomplishing musical moments. Like, it's just harder.
Yeah, because the thing is you can't beat Everything Comes Down to Poo from Scrubs. And they wrote all original music for that. So that's also different. These were renditions of actual songs. Scrubs would just like, kind of like Hamilton, where they're making the song piece fit in with the storyline. But I'm having a hard time remembering other musical episodes that I've seen, but I think...
So Buffy Psych has a pretty notable one. Yeah.
Buffy was Buffy. Cited as being one of the reasons that Shonda wanted to do this because of the Buffy episode.
I really like the meta reasons for doing a musical episode for Buffy. For those of you who haven't seen it, everyone is keeping secrets throughout season 6 when this episode happens. And logically, none of them would ever share these secrets out loud. But a spell gets cast over the town that turns it into a musical for a day. And like in a that musical, with the idea that when your emotions like build up too big, everyone ends up revealing in song the things that they've been trying to hide over the course of the season. And it's like a fun way to like have a standalone funny musical episode, but also like create an impetus for the overall arc of the season.
I like that. So yeah, I would say pretty in line. It didn't. Mm-hmm. In line. I would say not better, not worse. Just I really enjoyed it.
How are you feeling back into the world of no spoilers?
Good. It's a relief. And honestly, I didn't even think about that until we got to this point. So I really am back to a really solid baseline. So I feel good.
Did you think the musical episode was going to be anywhere near where we are? Did you think it was further out?
I don't know if there was like an unconscious knowing of it, or if I'm remembering, like maybe blocking it out of my memory, that when I got spoiled, it said it was in season 7. So I feel like there was something in my head where I'm like, oh, I feel like maybe I'm remembering that it's going to be coming up soon. But I didn't expect it to be so Callie heavy. Mm-hmm. And I'm really glad that it was, because of her ability and her storyline, and it did make sense. It didn't feel jarring to me, but I wasn't expecting it to be, again, because I'm thinking like those other musicals that I know, it was original music. It's not covers.
Do you think the musical should have been a filler episode, or do you like that it was like very important?
Very much that it was important. It was very cohesive. And again, we'll get to this in the rankings, but I really like this episode.
You've activated my trap card, which is the definition of filler episodes. Yeah, yeah. It's like a minefield out here. So the term filler episode originates from Japanese anime when they're adapting a comic series for TV. When they run out of comics to adapt and they have to wait for more books to pick up, filler episode initially means like a storyline that splits off from the main arc while the TV crew is sort of like letting time run past so the comic artist can put out more issues. And for some reason in the last couple years, people say that a filler episode is anything that's like just character building instead of overarching story things. I don't feel that TV shows have filler episodes because characters are the story. The end.
That's fair.
I love that. And also, to be clear, I love the trap cards. So don't, I hope you didn't take that as like,
great.
What? Another trap card? I was like, oh no, my trap card, I've activated it. I was going full on Yu-Gi-Oh
trap
here.
Card.
Yeah.
That's what I was referencing.
I know. I love it. I love that reference.
Who did you want to see more singing from or disappointed that didn't get singing time? I would love to have seen more with Mark, a Mark and Arizona duet. Again, we said would have been like chef's kiss.
Yes. I think that they shouldn't have let anyone off the hook. Patrick Dempsey should have gotten one fucking line.
Sandra Oh didn't sing.
Sandra Oh.
Weber didn't sing. Jackson didn't sing. I think that's it.
Yeah, everyone should have gotten one line, minimum. Or, at least in Chasing Cars, been a part of the ensemble-matic. the choral arrangement. They should have all been together on that. Because you're part of the crew, part of the ship.
Yeah.
Part of the ship.
There you go.
Did you catch yourself singing along to any of the songs?
No.
I did, but it was all of them because I have seen this show too many times.
Yeah,
and
no,
then
none of them.
I told my Alexa to play, I think it was Breathe. And then she just played like banger after banger after banger that were all from Grey's. And I was like, this playlist is fucking lit. This girl knows what I want.
Oh, love that. Good for you.
And then, yeah, she's right here, so I can't be saying her name.
She heard me, Alexa. Stop.
You've activated my trap card. Hey, I've talked to you guys about the guy who didn't like musicals before, right? I think this
was
is like
name,
the one musical I've
Alexa?
Really been trying to get Carmen to watch is there's Alexa. This musical called The Guy Who Didn't Like Musicals. You can watch it on YouTube. And That's it is fun. About a town where an alien invasion is happening. And the way that they get you is they make you sing and dance. And then you like die and join their evil musical forever. And the only person who can stand up to them is the guy who doesn't like musicals. But there is a character and his only companion is his robot assistant, Alexa. And it's a real Alexa that's like a character in the show. And it's very funny. So everyone check out The Guy Who Didn't Like Musicals on YouTube.
I love that.
Okay, so I think we should rate it and then do some predictions.
All right. Don't at me, everyone. I'm going to start this off. It's a 5. This is easy. This is an easy one. For me.
There are moments
so
in this that are
like
such a 5. There are moments that are such a 5. And then there are moments that I got to bring it down. I'm going to say 4.3 because I don't skip this episode. I will skip Owen singing. I'll skip How to Operate. But Running on Sunshine doesn't make super sense. But I can like kind of see Meg's point of like maybe it's a dream sequence. I just wish they could have tied that in a little bit clearer. Because then it does work a lot better, but I just can't give it a perfect, like, again, if I'm just rating like the Callie storyline and Sarah Ramirez, it's 5,000, but like, that's simply, unfortunately not the case. So on a whole picture, I think just because it is flawed, but you know, it's fine, but they do such a great job with it. This is a hard task, like a drama doing a musical and not going like too far into it or not being laughable or not being a joke or whatever is a really hard task. And they all committed fully and I really appreciated that. And I'm going to say 4.3.
Nice. Meg, do you want to give a rating?
Ooh. No. I'm so torn on this one is like half of it is great and half of it is a little cringe to
me. Yeah.
But yeah, I could. Do you know what, though? I'll give it, because of sheer love, I'll give it a five. That's two fives.
That's so kind of you. Yeah, I mean, again, if you take just like the first 7 minutes and then like the last five, flawless. But there's just too much in the middle that I got some issues with. Also, you're going to bring Addison in. She's not there enough. Like, you bring her in, yeah. Use her.
Yeah. I feel like also at this point, so we've talked a lot. These have both been well over an hour for each episode. I got to tell you, I have zero predictions inside of my body right now. I just, I think there's about to be a turning point for so many storylines. And I don't think that this, other than me thinking that Arizona was going to die, this did not change any of my predictions that I believe that I had said from last week. So honestly, guys, like, I think I'm going to predict that Jackson and Lexi are going to break up before the end of the season. They're not going to last very long. And I'm going to predict that the baby's going to be fine. And this is a turning point in Mark and Arizona's relationship. But that's, I think, really all I got here.
We did have a request that you predict a name for the baby.
The name for the baby.
I was literally going to ask him to do that. That's so cool. Same brainwave.
It's a girl, right? Girl baby?
Yes.
What are the other Hercules names? Cleo? Oh,
Terpsichore.
So you're going real, clearly.
It's going to be okay. Addison, Ellis, Adrian, oh, Forbes, Montgomery, Shepherd, Albus Dumbledore, Severus. Alvis, Severus, Draco.
Patricia.
Torres.
Thatcher, Susan.
All right. Wait, I think I've got this.
Olivia Torres. Hashtag bring back Olivia Torres.
Terpsichore, Calliope, Thalia, Melpomene, Cleo, Polyhymnia.
All great names, by
Erato,
the way.
Erato, just a per Urania. Human being. Oh, fuck.
For sure, Erania. Did I already
say Euterpe or Euterpe?
No.
No, Euterpe.
Euterpe. Okay. Euterper. That might be all of them. I don't know.
Well, that was very impressive. None of those names are actually making it to my official prediction. I think the official prediction is going to be Renesmee Torres. And I'm going to land on that.
It. All right.
What about
Renesmee Arwen?
She was pronounced different.
Ava Rebecca Torres.
Same movie. Pronounced Calliope. So the baby's name is Calliope and the mom's Calliope. Name is Calliope. Calliope.
She's French. That's it. That's all I got.
Do we have anything else we need to add before we wrap this up?
I have a podcast.
Yes, Meg, please do your plugs.
Hey, everyone. You can find me at Third Child Art pretty much everywhere on the internet if you want to see illustrations from me, actually illustrating musical numbers from things that I love. And I have a podcast with my sister called My Sister Made Me View It, where a lot like Grey's Academy, one of us will be spoiled, one of us will be unspoiled, but we cover a lot of different things. We're currently making our way through the Stormlight Archive by Brandon Sanderson, the horror podcast called Malevolent, and a fantasy trilogy by Naomi Novik called The Scholomance. And each project has its own different feed. So if you just search for My Sister Made Me View It or go to sismademeviewit.com, you can find all the different things that we've covered.
Incredible. Thank you so much for joining us. We love your insight. We love your opinion. I'm so glad we finally got here. Meg called dibs on this episode, I don't know, in like season 3, maybe. It was a long time ago. And so we were thrilled to finally get this. It was also a surprise to Carmen that she was recording with us, because I was afraid if I told him prior to the episode that she was recording with us, it would like set him suspicious that this was going to be a moment. So I waited until after he knew that it was the musical to tell him also Megan's recording with us. So we're thrilled to finally have gotten here. We're thrilled. I know you'll be back again.
At
we
some
love
point.
It. I love having a guest that I know it won't spoil things.
Yeah. Listeners, when do you want me back? Write in. Yes. Tell us. I'll show up any old time.
Yeah. It will. I will say to Kelsey's point, to her what's where you're trying to give kudos to her credit. She was like really pushing me all week. When do you think
I was like,
we should?
So when, like, when are we gonna record? Like, no pressure, but like, do you have an idea of when maybe we're gonna record? Just like,
it was like every just, like, single no day. Worries, she was like, "What's like, the update? Like, what's happening?
Can you decide, please?"
Yeah.
And he's like, "Oh, I don't know. Maybe this day. Maybe this day. We might have to push the episode till Friday." And I was like, "God, fucking." Shit. And finally he was like, we can record, and I was like, thank God, because I already told her it's tonight.
yeah anyways, Kelsey, take us home.
Thank you guys so much for listening. Please continue to share us on all your socials. I know this is a big episode, so we're really hoping for some new listeners to find us for this one, because, man, this was a fun one. I'm so glad to have gotten here. I know you guys were also anticipating this, so thanks for sticking around and giving us a little extra time this week. I thought this one might go long, but we really stuck mostly to it. We just had a lot to say for this one. There's a lot to get through, and we wanted to give it its due. So thank you guys so much for your support, for listening. You can find us on Patreon, Grey's Academy Pod. You can email greysacademypod@gmail.com. You can follow us everywhere at Grey's Academy Pod. Just make sure, if you see Carmen walking down the street,
no spoilies.
We're back into it, truly.
We are back into the no spoily zone for real, for real. We appreciate you all so much. Meg, thank you. Our sister in Shonda. And we will see you all in the next one.
This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.